All right, 1 week from today is the NFL draft. The Washington Commanders are on the clock for pick number two.
They got a good coach. I like Dan Quinn.
Okay.
Might be a better DC than a head coach.
Well, but true.
We'll see.
Is Mike McCarthy going to coach your team this year? Everything I hear is that it's Bill Belichick and Deion Sanders.
Yeah, I hear that. It's going to be a two-headed head coach next year.
And, oh, what a combo.
They've sat out free agency this year, so they're obviously tanking, and I'm sure they're going to draft nine punters. And yeah, great. Yay, football.
Well, as we know now, it sounds like the only owner –
hope your teams do well.
Or the only possible team that Bill Belichick could actually coach for right now
is
the Dallas Cowboys.
And at this point, I basically was like, F it. Just do it. I don't care anymore. Just go all in.
Hey, let's pull the Band-Aid off. And
let's go
and
all
the
in
only reason that he's connected to the Cowboys is because of Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get old.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes we're old.
Personally, just saying. I'm rooting for Deion.
Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, it's the inevitability.
And with Bill Belichick. So let's just go ahead and say that out loud. Bill Belichick is old.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Might be more fun, though.
The Golden State Warriors are old.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Father Time wins, you tip your cap, and you go find the Fountain of Youth.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, so there's a good USA Today story comparing the recruiting philosophies of Matt Rhule and Deion Sanders, and I'm going to give you the footnotes here. They're completely different. But of second-year coaches, in Boulder, there's pressure to win. I don't know what Deion's priority is at Colorado this year, to win or make sure that his son is a definite top first-round, top 10 draft pick. I don't know what his priority is. But Rhule, Fickell, and Sanders will be connected because they were all hired, big-time hires, year number two. When was the last time you thought about Luke Fickell? Like, Luke Fickell's been in the playoff.
Yeah.
He had a 7-6 season at Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
They finished stronger than they started.
Yep.
They had a couple of head-scratching losses in there. But nationally, is anybody talking about Luke Fickell?
No, not nearly as much as when he got the job, and you thought, "Whoa!" It has been relatively quiet on the Wisconsin and the Luke Fickell front,
and they've added some intriguing pieces in the portal. Now it's a program that two straight years has gone 7-6, and they haven't had a all-conference offensive lineman, which coincides. But think about this between Nebraska and Wisconsin, who will play near the end of the year, which that game could be very meaningful. The win total for Nebraska is 7.5. The Wisconsin win total is 6.5. Wisconsin's schedule is extremely difficult compared to Nebraska's. But if Nebraska finished 7-5, Wisconsin finishes 7-5, which fan base would be okay with it? Now, I must tell you, Wisconsin plays Alabama, USC, Iowa, Oregon, and Penn State. Nebraska goes 7-5. Wisconsin goes 7-5.
I'll lean towards Nebraska.
I will too, but you bring up a good point with Wisconsin.
Yeah, the schedule, it's the thing with Wisconsin, though, that I kind of going back to something we were talking about, establishing a floor. I feel like Wisconsin, despite even a tough schedule, feels like as a program, even with new coaches, that they've established that floor. So I think 7-5 is on the low end of that. I don't know if that... I don't think it necessarily makes the Wisconsin fan base panicky, but I think you're talking also about a program that hasn't been to a bowl game since 2016 and would have seven wins. Yeah, I think there'd be a little bit more slight angst on the Wisconsin side.
I think Nebraska's 7-5.
That's the shot.
Yeah.
Right now, on April 18th, Nebraska is 7-5 this upcoming season. And you know why I won't change until, and I think I'm not alone here on the perception of this upcoming season. And it is April 18th, so we can change because there's a lot of fluidity. That's a good word to use. If you're ever doing a speech, use the word fluidity. I don't know what Nebraska is going to be able to do to run the football. If I felt better about Nebraska's running game and the running back room, I might change my win total.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the running back room is a mystery. Not that it can't change, but guys not being available, guys not just breaking out, I can't go, oh, now we're talking, and go a high win total and overlook the simplest part of running the football. If Nebraska was stronger at running back, because there's a lot of questions, more questions than answers, I think people would change their perception on a win total. If you were in my boat of 7-5, you might go, okay, I get maybe 8. Boy, could they make a run at 9? But right now they're a 7-5 football team. That's April 18th, put it on the board. I might change it on May 18th. Change it on August 18th.
This time last year, I remember having that conversation Monday after the spring game. He said, this is a 500 team. And just based on what you knew of the personnel, what you saw, not necessarily even what you saw in the spring game.
And I missed.
And well, but I think people were hoping that you would see something that resembled a little bit above a 500 team. But again, it's the whole got to be able to crawl before you can walk. I hear you on the running back part of it. I still got the number 31 in my head. And I've been waiting for at some point the turnover margin to fall back to the mean. And I like how it's being discussed. I like how I guarantee it's being emphasized. That's something that still, for a team that I think is going to have a very slim margin for error, that's something that I'm still hung up on. Not to just go along for the sake of going along in this, I can't go any greater than 7 right now. I know a lot of, I know, I've heard people talk about 8, and some people want to go 9.
Are you doing that? Are they doing that because of the schedule?
I think it's the schedule. Yeah, that's where I think it starts with, and then
the running game. And then
a lot
of
people
schedule
this. And see, Gary, this is eerily similar, where I think Nebraska's in a much better shape than they were with the previous coaching staff in year two. But this is eerily similar to a lot of people expecting that year two jump from Scott Frost. If you remember, people brought up the schedule that year. People brought up the success that he had in year two at Central Florida. These are things that I think are also part of that conversation. Now, I think when it comes to coaches and the way that they go about doing things, it's apples and oranges. So I think it's okay to be optimistic about that. I mean, you have to be. But there are still things that until I see it improve, it's hard for me to get into that 8-9 win neighborhood right now.
So the running game needs some answers. I think I might have got my answer yesterday. Guys surprised about Nebraska's portal activity with running backs that are in the portal.
Getting interest for guys that are available. And to me,
they're kicking the tires.
And that tells you, I think it tells you a lot about guys like a Gabe Irvin. Ramir, I think there's, I'm not overly worried about Emmett Johnson. I'm not overly worried. I think Dante Dowdell can be good. The thing that I'm more worried about is I don't know if you're ever going to get anything that's going to be reliable out of Gabe Irvin with a hip injury, but also I've never been that high on him. And I think injuries have probably taken a lot of his momentum away. Ramir Johnson, I know they want to carve out a role for him. But again, I don't think that's your answer of, okay, Ramir Johnson's going to be our guy for 20 to 25 carries a game. He's not that guy. Everything else is just unproven right now.
I mean, you know the running back room. What do you perceive as their interest in Penny Boone?
As a guy that's probably very similar to what you thought Dante Dowdell would be. And remember, his name was brought up over when he was at Toledo. And so, to me, it might be an Emmett Johnson thing.
So this is the time of the year where we do the sleuthing and we see what coaches are following kids that are in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
But when a player, just like in basketball, it's more prevalent. We know more about the basketball portaling than we do college football portaling. Is when a player mentions publicly who he has been contacted by. And we're talking about Penny Boone, who was at Louisville, transferred there. So he was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year, ran for over 1,400 yards, 7 yards a tote, went to Louisville, went through spring. Jeff Brohm has had an exodus as well. Like some key, like guys that would be contributors. So I'm not sure what happened after spring ball. But I don't know that he was the right fit. And I hate the word fit because it gets me a little bit nervous. But the fact that he said that Nebraska has reached out tells me everything I need to know about how Nebraska feels about the running back room. Now, I love that Nebraska, regardless if they have 85 or 172 people on scholarship and they've got to do the math and they've got to move some things around, that they're still recruiting in the portal. Because if you're not looking to upgrade your roster every single day, I don't know what you're doing. But the fact that they are, this is out there, that they have contacted him from a prospect, doesn't mean he's going to end up at Nebraska or you're even going to get a visit or anything like that. I think tells you that Nebraska needs some reinforcements in the running back room because as you brought up, and I know you love Gabe Irvin. The most carries Gabe Irvin has ever had in his career at Nebraska over the course of a season, 38.
Mm-hmm.
My work here is done.
Yep. And it also does, because I think at the end of the season going into this year, I will admit I was part of this. Emmett Johnson showed me some things where you thought, okay, he could factor in.
No, and he's in that, he's in your top three, and he'll get run. But is he a three down back?
Right. And where's Dante Dowdell right now in that process as well? A guy that we're extremely excited about and maybe still are to this point, but you're looking for that 20 to 25 carry a guy. Is he that guy? Are you looking at other options because of the fact that after that, it's a steep drop-off. Just haven't heard enough about Quentin Ives to think, okay, he's coming. He's developing into a guy that they can start relying on as well. I think it's a steep drop-off right now.
But they have, you can do your sleuthing and see who Evan Cooper is following, what cornerback or safety is out there. One of the great things that ever happened is the Parker Gabriel trick, because sometimes it's a little bit, they made it a little bit more difficult to figure out who's following who.
Yeah.
He gave me a trick that he was using during coaching search and stuff. Still works. Still works, Elon.
What coaches start following teams and vice versa.
All right, Steve Sipple coming up here in a little bit. Jordan Larson at 9 and Brian Edwards on this Thursday edition of Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.